It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. It is Football Friday. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not bad. That game last night, Jets-Patriots in the division. Aaron Rodgers, I think, looked the best he's looked yet. Not just throwing, moving, running. He looked like a regular quarterback. So maybe a couple weeks where he was just kind of feeling it out or shaking off rust. I thought Rodgers looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, I mean, I had said a couple weeks that he looked old and immobile. He did not last night. Mm-hmm. Last night he was running around, extending plays, even gaining yards for a first down, throwing on the run, throwing from the pocket. He looked good last night. First couple weeks also, maybe a bit of a lie on the Patriots. I mean, I have no idea how they beat the Bengals. I mean, watching that team last night, how in the world did they do that? Because they have no offense whatsoever. And defensively, they're pretty sound, but the Jets did a really nice job on them. But man, if you're a Patriots fan, that offense looks like it is. I mean, we talk about all these like NFL numbers and stats and charts and, you know, going back to whatever years. That offense looks like it's stuck in 1979. Yeah. And it is crazy, not explosive or good.
I was watching the Next Gen Stats Cast last night, Sal, and like every play they have like a different number, and it felt like the whole night was just more ways of telling me how bad the Patriots offensive line is. And they couldn't block a Jets defensive line, who, by the way, like that was supposed to be the weakness of their defense. And I don't know, last night they were getting after Brissett, it felt like every other play.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it seemed like whenever they had a manageable play, a third down, third down three, maybe they could do this. Bam, there goes Brissett, he's down. They couldn't block anybody, right? So
yeah,
I agree with you. It's just, if the other part I thought of, and this kind of made me smile a little bit, but it's true. Like, if you're a Patriots fan watching that, how far away do you think they are? I mean, it felt like, I was going to tweet this at one point, I didn't, but it felt like some of the lowest of the lows of drought era Bills football. Like, oh my God, they just are so inept. How far away is this team truly? They need so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they made the decision to go to Brissett over Drake May, and the reasoning was, well, they're not ready for a young quarterback. To me, Sal, that was a red flag because they just had a young quarterback. How could you not be ready for a young quarterback? You drafted another one, 3 years after you just had one? And to not have anything in place around him offensively is kind of amazing. But anyway, yeah, it looks rough for them. On to Bills Jags. Let's get to Monday night's game. It is a Football Friday. We were having some fun, Sal, with Jags memories because Ed Oliver talked about this matchup. Weird things happen. He said weird a lot. And we found about 15 weird things that have happened between these two teams. Maybe none weirder than a fight that you were right in the middle of.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Someday it'll be my book. I've always said, like, if I ever write a book, like, I'm including some of the craziest things happening on the sidelines. And that would be near the top of the list. That was Leonard Fournette and Shaq Lawson. But it started with a play down the field between I don't remember the receiver for the Jags at the time, but Micah Hyde and Jordan Poor over there. There was some words exchanged, some pushing and shoving, and then all of a sudden, and Shaq Lawson is over there, and here comes Leonard Fournette charging from the other side of the field, essentially, and they start swinging at each other, and I get bumped into the wall, and I'm hightailing it out of there. I also remember like there was a security guard whose back was turned, and like he got drilled in the back as guys were coming down there. It was a pretty wild scene. And then after that, obviously, you guys remember, Fournette's getting walked to the locker room. Shaq, there's only one tunnel, right? And they basically are trying to fight on their way to the locker room, and Fournette was going crazy. It was a wild scene. You're right. That was something very crazy that happened that day.
Do you remember what kind of the Urban Meyer game too? Like, we kind of mention it offhand here, like 9-6. Like, the score was nuts, and the fact that they lost to him, but the game itself is kind of a blur to me. And then you have the London game last year. So the last two meetings between these teams, there's not really much you could take. Even though I feel like, you know, the quarterback at least for Jacksonville is the same.
Do you know what I remember about that game in Jacksonville, the Urban Meyer game, all the talk after the game about how, and it was true, like there was like zero energy on the Bills sideline. Do you guys remember that? Like, we were like, what is going on? Like, there was a lot of talk about that, and people kept saying, like, what did you see down there? I'm like, yeah, it was like, I mean, I didn't necessarily notice in the moment, but when you think about it and it was brought up, like, you're right, it was not your typical energetic sideline, I guess. I remember that. Like, it just was, they could never get into it. And maybe it's because they've been down and they were just kind of like, you know, nervous anticipation. Like, when are we going to make a play? That can happen too. And it just kept snowballing. I remember that. I just remember the Bills, every time they'd get the ball, like, okay, this is the drive they'll put together. Well, nope, there goes another turnover. Oh, nope, there goes another fourth down stop. Oh, there goes another third down stop and a punt coming up. It felt like every time they got the ball and had a chance, just something would happen. You'd feel like they could go down the field and score, and they never could. And they hardly got past, like, the 40 of Jacksonville, I think, that day. Something weird would happen, to use Ed Oliver's word, every time. And then London last year, guys, I mean, it was great being there, and there was a lot of talk about travel and when they were going and when they weren't. And I just thought it was always a tough setup for the Bills anyway, because the Jags had been there for a week. They'd been rested. They'd been ready. Their bodies were acclimated. And then, of course, all the injuries. That was the story of last year's London game for me, was the injuries. And I think if the Bills don't lose Daquan Jones and don't lose Matt Milano both in the same game, I think we're probably talking about a bit of a different story.
We know they will be without Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson in this game. You know, picking things up the rest of the way, Sal. You know, you mentioned Daquan Jones right there. I'm at a point where when I hear about a Bills matchup and I hear their offensive line might have a problem, I expect the Bills to feast. I know it's only been two games, but this defensive line, two games in, has come together and started to look like one of the better lines they've had under Sean McDermott.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Written my opinion.
Yeah, I think the Bills have, you know, built a nice depth, some nice depth on their defensive line. I think that, you know, getting Von Miller to where he is after 2 weeks, he's done well, and he looks like he's kind of back to what you'd hope. That was always a key X factor for this group. So I agree with you. And now look, getting Tuan Smoot is going to help a lot too. I think, to me, watching him in camp and preseason, guys, he was always a really important player. And then when he shows up with a toe injury 2 days before the opener, when that was unexpected, it wasn't like he got hurt in preseason and they knew he wasn't going to play. They had to make some modifications already to week number one, and then you had to elevate Cameron Klein. And then on 5 days later, 4 days later, you elevate, you know, Kingsley Jonathan because he can't play the Thursday night game. Well, now you get Tuan Smoot back, and I wonder even now how much more they can do with that D-line and how much better they can be. And because I think that that's a guy that they're really going to count on to do a lot up front. I just think they have flexibility, they have versatility, they have depth, and, you know, so far so good. And this is a team, the Jaguars, that has had some struggles on the offensive line. Yes, last week they gave up the safety against the Cleveland Browns. Oh, look, Cleveland is a good, good defense. They really are. They have a very good defensive coordinator in Jim Schwartz. You can't compare a lot of teams to Cleveland, but Buffalo's a very good defense too. And I do think this is a team that the Bills, especially at home, and a loud crowd on a night game, can maybe try to take advantage of that.
Does it feel like, for the revenge factor, Sal, with the revenge game factor, with much more Gabe Davis coming back. Both of those players meant a lot for the Bills, but Davis, we had a guest on earlier in the week, a Jaguars guest, that said, like, it's not really going great so far. And maybe that is Jaguars fans and media realizing that he has more of a role than just pass catcher, because it does feel like, you know, maybe they're going through the same thing we went through, where he's on the field all the time, but you look up at the end of the game and it's only a couple of catches at the end of the day.
Yeah, he has 6 catches so far, the same number as Brian Thomas Jr. And what's interesting is, you know, Gabe was always the big play downfield guy. Brian Thomas Jr. has actually kind of been more of that guy for them. Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. is averaging 23.5 yards a catch. He's had some big ones. Now, Gabe is up there. 17.5 is nice. It's a nice number. Mm-hmm. It is still his, it's kind of what he did in Buffalo. So it feels to me like he's the same player there. Yeah. It's like, you know, Gabe is going to be, this is what he does. I don't think that the Jaguars are, I don't know if the Jags had a plan to use him differently than the Bills did, saw him as a different player the Bills had, but it feels like Gabe Davis is who he is. And whether it's in Buffalo or Jacksonville, he's going to get you 2 to 3 catches a game, maybe one big play. He has a 22-yarder, his longest play down the field. At some point, maybe a bigger play than that. He's going to have a nice average. He's going to gain some first downs. And, you know, that you're right, Joe, used in other ways, like blocking in the run game, things like that. I'm getting that sense, too, that maybe they're feeling that part of it, which is, okay, we signed this guy to this contract. What's he making, 12, 13 a year?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, what is really his role other than this? Well, this might be his role. And I don't know if their reaction to that is negative, but it feels to me overall, this is who Gabe Davis is, whether it's Buffalo or Jacksonville. And the Bills know that. And I think the Bills know what he is or isn't capable of as he comes in here, too.
What about on the Bills' offensive side of the ball? We spent so much this week on the defensive injuries and the matchup against the Jaguars' offense. Who, like last week, this would have been Kincaid, I think, easily. Is there a guy that comes to mind for you who hasn't really been used a lot or a part of the offense as much in the first two games that you could see the Bills leaning into a little bit more in this matchup?
Curtis Samuel, absolutely. Even more than Dalton Kincaid. I wonder how much the toe injury has impacted Curtis Samuel. Even before the opener, when we talked to him, he didn't say like he was still dealing with it, but he said he's taking it day by day still. Like it wasn't, he didn't say he was ready to go 100%. I just felt like it was still something bothering him. Is it still? I'm not sure. You go 2 games, and through those 2 games, Curtis Samuel only has 3 catches. He does not have a run yet. We know that the Bills want to use him in different ways. Now you've had this nice break. You've had 11 days off. I can't believe the Bills signed Curtis Samuel to $8 million a year, their highest paid receiver, not a ton of money, had the numbers he did under Joe Brady when they played last time, did all these different things. Then in camp, we see all this stuff. I can't believe after 2 weeks, that's actually how they want to use him, what we've seen. I have to believe in some capacity, the toe injury, whether it's preparation leading up to the games and the game plan or simply in the games and managing his workload, I would have to believe that that has had some sort of impact on that.
Sal Capaccio checking in on Bills, Jags. Thank you, Sal. Sean McDermott today on the Extra Point Show?
Yeah, 10:15 a.m. Okay. So we get Sean at 10:15 a.m. now. We know the injuries, and there's no official designations until tomorrow for the game on Monday night, but we'll still ask Sean about any injuries and, you know, see how guys are, you know, trending throughout the week, especially the guys that have kind of been limited that are back to practice.
All right, very good. That's the Barnes Injury Report, the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Back on the other side, I've got to tell you a quick little story about last night. So Howard goes into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and another inductee that I want to tell you two about, because it'll be basically an edition of a grandpa tells you a story about what things used to be like a long, long, long time ago. Me being grandpa, not Howard. We'll get to that. And Kevin Cole, an unexpected points. He joins us at 8:15. Chris Brown, 8:30. Football Friday rolls along here on WGR.